thank you for tuning in to the Hoboken Grace podcast. We're super excited you're here as we walk into today's message. Our prayer is that it would inspire you on your walk with God and support you in a weekly rhythm of connecting with Him. To access our full podcast library, visit hobokengrace.com or our app.
It is here. It is here. Christmas is here. You guys excited about Christmas? 50-50 excited. I'm so excited about what we have coming up over the next couple of weeks as we celebrate just how far God has gone in His pursuit of us. And if you've never experienced Christmas at Hoboken Grace before, we've got so many things ahead of us. The Christmas Exchange is in just a couple of weeks, and then we have our kids' concert, and there's all sorts of stuff that's going to be happening. But I hope that you have already begun inviting someone, and if you haven't, I encourage you to start now inviting someone to join you on Christmas Sunday or at the Christmas Eve service. Because here's the thing. A lot of your friends will say no all year long except for Christmas. This is the one time when they will actually say yes. And some of you have been saying no for them. Don't say no for other people. Ask them, invite them to come with you to experience that celebration and for us to be able to talk about God's incredible pursuit of them. So make sure that you're inviting for that. Today, as we come together, we are actually wrapping up a series called The Principle of the Path. We've been talking through this for the last month, and we've been looking at this fundamental principle that it's not your intention, but your direction that will determine your destination. It doesn't matter where you want to end up. It doesn't matter how much you believe you're going to end up there. If you're moving in the wrong direction, you're never going to arrive at that destination. And so what we've been doing for the past couple weeks is, one, examining our paths and asking, okay, is this actually going to lead? When I look at how I'm living my life, is this actually going to lead to where I want to be? And we've been examining our paths. We've been, some of us have been taking action because you realize, no, it's not going to lead to where I want to be. I need to change course. And then in all of it, we've been engaging God because we understand our own understanding is not enough. And we're not leaning on our own understanding. We don't know what's going to happen, but we do have a relationship with someone who does. And so we're acknowledging Him in all of our ways and really inviting Him to speak into all of the decisions in our life. Nothing's off limits. Why? Because we know that He knows better than we do. And today I want to bring this to a close as we're working through this principle. And to do so, I want to take a step back in the process. In other words, there's something that comes before direction. Our direction determines our destination, but there's something that comes before direction that God is constantly talking to us about. And that is attention. In the same way that direction impacts destination, attention impacts direction. And what you pay attention to will drastically impact the direction in which you're headed. And sometimes in life, things catch our attention. And you don't intend for them to, but you're just moving along. And as you're moving along, all of a sudden something captures your attention. And not only does it capture your attention, but in capturing your attention, it changes your direction. I remember when I was living in Scranton, Pennsylvania, years ago. For some reason, I've lived in strange named towns. I was born in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I lived in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And now I live in Hoboken. Those are all really odd named towns. But I was in Scranton at the time, and I had really given up on the church. I had come to the point where I'd been a part of a lot of churches that were so inward focused. They weren't helping other people find their way back to God. They weren't really successful in loving the community in any significant way, and I'd really come to the point where many of you have been in the past where you just looked at the church and said, I don't think this works. I don't think this, at best, it's ineffective. And I was at the time working at UPS, and I had my life plan in place, and okay, this is where I'm going, this is what it's going to look like. But a church inside of our town brought in a new pastor. And when he came in, he began to change all these different things as far as how the church worked and what the church was focused on and how they used their resources. And all of a sudden, this church started to be incredibly powerful in their impact in the community. And the way that they were loving the community and how people were coming to know Christ there, it captured my attention. I was watching this and I was enamored by, okay, what are they doing? How is this working? How are they so effective in helping people find their way back to God? And that captured my attention. That completely changed my direction. That's why Hoboken Grace exists, because that captured my attention. And it changed what I wanted to do with my life. Years ago, my sister had a friend, and they'd been friends for a very long time, and so I knew her really well and didn't really think anything of it. But then one summer, I came to visit my parents. I was working in the city at the time, and my sister was there, and her friend happened to be there as well. She had come home from college, and all of a sudden, she captured my attention. I was like, interesting. That's different. For those of you who don't know, my wife Anna is my younger sister's best friend. I'm that guy. But she captured my attention, and it forever changed my direction. Forever changed my direction. It's amazing how our attention shapes our direction. And in life, there are these things that capture our attention. We don't intend for it to happen. It just happens. And sometimes, and we could all go back through our story and we could share about all sorts of different things that captured our attention and how it changed our direction and therefore drastically impacted our destination. We could all share stories like this. And some of them would be really good. But some of them would be really bad. And almost all of us could look back at things that we wish had never captured our attention. And I wish I had never met them. I wish I'd never seen that. I wish I'd never gone there. But it captured your attention, and that changed your direction, and all of a sudden you ended up somewhere you never really wanted to be. Our attention is very powerful in our lives. And it's interesting, there's two sides to this. There are those things in life that capture our attention, and there are the things in life that we know we need to pay attention to. Those things that you move through your journey, you say, well, I need to pay attention to that, because you realize it's significant, it's important, and you realize if you don't pay attention to it, again, that impacts your direction, and it's going to impact your destination. I say all the time in our premarital class, you don't have to do anything to ruin your marriage. Just stop paying attention to it. As soon as you stop paying attention to it, it will impact your direction. And I can tell you where you'll end up. The same is true with finances. You don't have to ruin your finances. Just stop paying attention to them. That impacts your direction, and there's a destination to that. It's amazing to me how many times I'll interact with people and we'll be talking about their finances and I'll say, well, where are you? And they're like, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? They have not paid attention for so long that they are scared to pay attention again. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're like, no, I'd rather not look at my bank account. Really? Yeah. There's a destination there. And there are the things that capture our attention. There are the things that we need to pay attention to. And as you come to Scripture, God is, throughout the entire story, God's talking to us about this. There's not just one. We could walk through almost every book in Scripture, and you're going to find him talking about this in some way, shape, or form. Because again, as our Father, one of the things that he does, he doesn't just leave us to navigate this journey on our own. He doesn't just say, hey, I hope you make it. I hope you figure it out. It's all a mystery. No, that's not what he does at all. He steps into our life, and he's constantly instructing us. Okay, this is what you need to pay attention to. This, listen, over here, you need to understand this is how life works. And so through the whole biblical narrative, you see him talking about this. So let me take you back to Deuteronomy. This is in the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament. And he's talking to the nation of Israel, and they've made this covenant. God's made this covenant with them. And one of the first things that he talks to them about is their attention. And so he says this. He says, if you pay attention to these laws, if you pay attention, what does he know? He knows if you pay attention to something, it impacts your direction. And so he says, you need to pay attention. It's not just that you need to know them. It's not just that they need to be there. You need to pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them. Then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you as he swore to your forefathers. So he's talking to the nation of Israel about this very early on as we're inside of Scripture. And then you come to Psalms, and in Psalms you see the psalmist talking about this. He says, direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my head towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. I love that. He says, turn my eyes away from worthless things because it's so easy for worthless things to capture our attention. And all of a sudden, we spend all this time and energy on something that doesn't really matter, but it captured our attention. And so he says, no, well, help me to be able to focus my attention on that which matters. Because my attention impacts my direction. In Proverbs, you see it over and over again. Proverbs 4, it says it this way, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. This is a great memory verse for those of you who travel a lot or for those of you who struggle with shopping. Fix your eyes. Look, let my eyes look straight ahead. Why? Because the bad purchase isn't the purchase you went there to make. It's what caught your attention while you were there. That's why you can't go to Costco or Target. Did you intend to buy that much mayonnaise? No, but it caught my attention. He says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. And what is he talking about? He's talking about being intentional with your attention. Being intentional with your attention. A lot of us are very intentional when it comes to our destination. We're like, okay, this is where I want to end up. And you've thought through, this is what I want my life to look like. This is where I want to look. This is where I want to end the journey, or this is how I want the journey to go. And you have great intentions as it pertains to your destination. Some of you have been intentional as it pertains to your direction and how you're going to get there. A lot of what we've talked about is being intentional with your direction. But God takes it one step further and says, whoa, whoa, whoa. If you're going to be successful in that, you have to be intentional with your attention and what it is that you're paying attention to, what it is that you're allowing to captivate your attention. And so he says, I want you to focus on that which is significant. You come to the New Testament in Hebrews, he talks to us about this. He says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard so that we do not drift away. And I love how he calls us to this, because oftentimes we don't change direction intentionally. Again, something caught your attention and you don't immediately say, oh, I'm changing direction. It's just that all of a sudden you begin to drift. Well, see how this relationship works out. And you know, I'm not really sure I should do this. And there are red flags there, but they've captured your attention. And you don't choose to move in a direction that you know is destructive. You just kind of drift there. And he's saying, don't drift your way through life. Don't allow your direction and destination to be impacted by the things that just capture your attention. But be intentional about what you pay attention to. And again, this isn't rocket science. You know this about attention. It shows up in all sorts of different areas of life that our attention impacts our direction. I remember learning this in a very painful way because my sister hates me. Not really, she's just very mean. She's just very mean to me. And she decided to teach me how to snowboard, which I wanted to learn how to snowboard. But she decided that the way she was going to teach me how to snowboard is that she was going to take me out. There wasn't very much snow. There was a lot of ice, which is not great for learning how to snowboard. How many of you know how to snowboard? Yeah, it has been shocking to me how few people actually snowboard or how few people are embarrassed to acknowledge it. I don't know which one it is, but very few people have acknowledged knowing how to snowboard as we've moved through the morning. But she decided, I'm going to teach you how to snowboard. And so I'm, okay, great. And we get out there and it's a lot of ice. And we begin to make our way down this mountain because she didn't start on the bunny hill. She took me to the top of the mountain, which actually makes sense if you learn how to snowboard because you need speed to learn. To snowboard, it doesn't work that well on bunny hills. But she takes me to the top, and she doesn't take me to the top of a green. She takes me to the top of a blue. And she says, okay, we're going to learn. This should be quick. And I thought, well, this is going to be great. I know how to ski, and I know how to wakeboard, so I should be fine. Neither of them helped me at all, at all. The skiing one was actually destructive and detrimental to me learning, but because I kept trying to turn my feet straight. Yeah, it wasn't funny at all when that happened. I just got to tell you that. But it was interesting. As we made our way down the mountain, she kept telling me, and she didn't say it like this, but she kept saying, pay attention to your attention. In other words, she said, don't worry about your feet. Just pay attention to your head. And when you first start, you're really worried about your feet. She said, but don't worry about that. Your feet will naturally follow your head. So if you're going down the mountain and you look over your shoulder, you'll naturally turn. Your feet will actually naturally follow your head. And then if you're going this way and you look back, you'll naturally turn back. She said, all you have to do is pay attention to your attention. Like, where is it that you're looking? And it will lead you there. But that's not easy when you're learning to snowboard because there's a tree. She's like, don't look at the tree. I'm looking at the tree. The tree's right there. And I kept hitting the tree. You know this. You learned this when you rode a bike. All of us understand this. We understand our attention impacts our direction. And God is stepping in as our loving Father and saying, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. Listen, listen. You've got to be intentional with what it is that you're paying attention to. And so as we wrap this up today, and as we finish talking about this principle, let me ask you this. What is it that's captured your attention? Are there things in your life that you've allowed to capture your attention that you need to let go of? And you say, no, it's going to be fine. I can daydream about that girl at work. It's going to be fine. I can pay attention to this and it won't impact my direction. This is a principle. Understand this. As you move through Scripture, one of the things that our Father does, because he loves us, is that he teaches us principles. This isn't, well, God wants it to be this way, or God likes it to be this way. No, a principle is just something that is. It is. Just the same as gravity. It is. You can be here today. It doesn't matter what you believe about God. This is a principle. It's a principle in all of our lives. The fact that if you look over your shoulder, it's going to change the way you go down the mountain. That is a thing that is. And this is a principle. You don't break principles. You break yourself against them. And if you're going into it and saying, no, I understand the principle, but I'm going to be the exception. I said this in week one. Anytime you hear yourself saying, I'm going to be the exception. Anytime you hear yourself thinking, I'm going to be the exception, you need to say to yourself, you're not that exceptional. I'm not that exceptional. There are not exceptions to principles. Are there things that you know you need to stop paying attention to? This is a big one when it comes to entertainment, because our culture loves to entertain ourselves with sin. And so you watch TV and it's all about affairs and drug dealers and all of it's literally us entertaining ourselves with sin and brokenness. That's primarily what we entertain ourselves with. And you're allowing your attention to be focused on something that's destructive. You don't break principles, you break yourself against them. Is there something you need to stop paying attention to? Someone you need to stop paying attention to? Is there somewhere in life that you need to start paying attention? And you realize, wait. If I don't start paying attention to my health, that's a direction, and there's a destination. If I don't start paying attention to my marriage, if I don't start paying attention to my kids, is there some place in your life that you need to start paying attention, that you've been neglecting because maybe something else caught your attention? Our Heavenly Father stepped in and said, this is how you navigate this journey. But here's the thing. I don't want this to just be something that we learn. I say this all the time. If Sunday doesn't impact Monday, we're wasting our time. You should have just slept in. It would have been better for you. I truly believe that. Learning information without application oftentimes is actually detrimental to your growth. Because the next time that you hear it, you'll say, I already know that. So not only did you not apply it this time, but the next time that you hear it, the next time I talk about it, you'll say, oh, I already know that. And you won't apply it then either. And this happens in church all the time, all the time. It's really easy for us to confuse conviction and growth. People think because I feel convicted, I'm growing. No, you're just convicted. You're still in the same place. You're still making the same decisions. You're still paying attention to the same things, headed in the wrong direction, headed towards a bad destination. Just because of the fact that you feel like you need to change, all that's changing is your intention, not your direction, not your destination. Don't come into church and think, well, because I felt something, I'm growing. No, you have to do something. That's why James, when he's writing the church, he says, don't just be hearers of God's word, be doers. He says, if you don't, it's like someone who looks in a mirror and then forgets what he looks like. What good was it? And so I don't want to just talk about this as an idea and everybody, well, I know, I understand the principle of the path. I learned this really interesting thing. Attention impacts direction, impacts destination. That is worthless if you don't practice it. So I'm really excited because they made it. Our books actually made it in, and our growth planners are here today. So we were hoping that they'd be here a little bit earlier, but they made it by the end of the series. So that's what mattered the most, because here's what we've done, is that we've put everything that we have tried to do over the past 16 years in terms of, okay, how do we help people actually practice this principle? We've put this into one booklet. And a lot of you have seen a lot of the different pieces that are in here. It's just that we brought it all together inside of what we call our growth planner. And so when you pick this up, and these are available downstairs, when you pick this up at the beginning of it, there's a little bit of an introduction into kind of the different pieces of the planner and how you can use it. As you move forward, you're going to find your experience plan. Many of you have seen an experience plan if you've been inside of a dinner group before. This is your plan of how you're going to pursue God. God is constantly pursuing you, but if you don't turn back towards him, if you're not pursuing him, you're not going to experience that pursuit. So this is how I'm going to begin to pursue him, where I'm going to spend time with him, when I'm going to spend time with him, how to be able to use the different tools that he's given us of how to pursue him. And what we're asking you to do is to be able to plan that out every month. In the past, we've had people fill it out for the year, but you don't do anything for a year. And every time you plan something for a year, it usually fails. So what we're asking you to do is plan it for the month. You can do it for the next month. You know what your month is going to look like. So you plan out, okay, this month, this is what it's going to look like. And the next month, and there's 12 of them in there so that you can walk through the whole year. Now, why does the book start here? The book starts here because we're not leaning on our own understanding. So before we get to any of the planning, we start with pursuing. I want to pursue you. I want for you to speak into. I want to acknowledge you in all of my ways. I want you to speak into all of those decisions and everything that comes after this. So it starts with the pursuit. As you continue then, it moves into the life plan. Now, this is something that I've been doing for years here at Hoboken Grace. My coach taught me this years ago, and it has been life-changing. This is basically looking at, okay, where do I want to be? And are there areas in my life where I realize I'm headed towards the wrong destination? I want to change the destination. And this next year, I want to change my destination. So there's three areas. You can't change everything in your life all at once. So what we ask you to do is we ask you to identify three different areas of your life that you want to change your destination and to be able to set out, okay, this is where I want to be in a year. This is where I want to be a year from now. And then you identify 3 to 5 things that you're going to practice in order to get there. Why? Because being intentional about your destination doesn't matter if you don't change your direction. And so what are you going to do on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, in order to change your direction? And then the whole point of this is to be able to maintain our attention and that our attention is on the right things so we can change direction. So you're identifying, okay, this is my life plan as I move through this next year. As you continue, there's a habit tracker in there. So you take all those things that you want to actually practice, that you said you were going to practice, and you put them in here, and then you track them. So that you can, there's one for every month, and you just track. Okay, was I actually able to do that? That's impressive if you guys can stay in that. I'll try to stay still. So that will help the camera people. Like, so you can actually track how successful was I? And you can look back. Am I actually changing my direction? I can't stay still. I don't do that very well. Am I actually changing my direction so that it changes my destination? And you can track that. And this can be big things, this can be small things. One of the things that's on my habit tracker is taking my medication, because apparently I'm 80 years old and have to take medication every day. Sorry, that was offensive. But that's one of those things. Why? Because I know if I want to end up at a different destination, I have to change my direction. And so you're tracking it. As you continue through it, there's a gratitude journal where you can just write down one line, one thing that you're grateful for every single day as you move through the month, and just celebrate who God is and what God's doing in your life, and to be able to celebrate the impact of changing your direction and how that's showing up in your life. And then there's an area for notes as you come to the end of it. And maybe this isn't the tool for you. We created this because we want you to actually live it. And for far too many of us, we look back on our journey and something captured our attention, and we wish it never had captured our attention. And this principle can show up in your life in really bad ways. But that's not why God teaches it to you. He doesn't just teach you it so that you don't end up in a bad place. He teaches it to you because he wants you to actually experience life. And he wants you to know the life that's true life, that's full life. And so he says, trust me. Pay attention to these things. Don't just drift through life. What is it that you need to pay attention to so that you can change direction and experience the destination that he created you for? You can do it. You can do it. We just have to pay attention. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for how you so lovingly lead and guide us on this journey. And I just pray for those who are here that maybe they've never experienced that. They think of you as someone who's just kind of left us, and they feel like on this journey that they just have to figure it out on their own. I just pray that today that would change. Pray that how they see you, how they think of you would change. I pray for those who've been lied to about you, that maybe as they see you teaching us, calling us to this principle, that they would realize, wait, he's not who I thought. And that they'd take that first step in trusting you and realizing that they can trust you. I want to give you a chance right now, as your heads are bowed, just to have this conversation with God. I'm just going to give you a moment. I'll say, Father, we pray, and then you can just talk to God right where you are. And for some of you, you know, you've been paying attention to something you need to stop paying attention to. And I want to give you a chance to make that commitment to him today. For others of you, maybe you need to go to him and invite him into this, to ask him the question, okay, God, is there something that I need to be paying attention to that I'm not? Is there something that I've neglected that I need to pay attention to today, moving forward? I just want to invite you into that conversation with him, and then I'll bring us back together. Father, I thank you that we can have that conversation with you, that we can be on this journey with you in this really unbelievable way. And so, Father, we pray. If you picked up the elements of communion on your way in, I just invite you to take those now, to take the bread and to take the cup, to remember what Jesus did for us to be part of this family, to remember how his body was broken, how he gave his life on that cross, how his blood was shed so that we could be adopted. So that we can know there's not a moment of this journey that we're alone, that we can know not only the reality of who God is, but we could actually be his kids. What an unbelievable thing he made possible. And for those of you who are here, maybe you've never trusted him with that. I want you to know what we're talking about in this relationship with God. It's not possible because you're good. It's possible because of the fact that Jesus gave his life for you. And you can trust him not just with this principle. You can trust him with your life. Father, thank you for adopting us. Thank you that you wanted to be our dad. In Jesus' name, amen.